Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by P4P Muscle Productions and Entertainment, the number one drug-free athlete sponsorship foundation in the world. Following under the teachings, don't trust me, trust my hustle. The ringleader of this show and conductor of this machine is Kalen Lend Your Ear Patterson. Sit back, relax, and turn up your volume to P4P Real Talk.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation and opportunity in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now, let's talk. Good morning. This is Phaedra Chantel coming from Chicago. It's a beautiful morning, as every morning is. Thank you for joining us this 6 a.m. or whatever time you're coming from. We have our guest today, Stacey Boyer. Hi, Stacey. How are you?
Hi, good. Good morning.
All right. Thank you so much for waking up. I know you've already probably been up for like 2 hours, did your cardio, like got everything in. So this isn't extremely early for you, but thank you for coming in. Yeah, you know, this is how we do. So I really appreciate you being here. We've got a really great show today because there's a lot of aspects of this lady's life. She is an entrepreneur. She's with the Motivate New brand and a lot more because she's a mother, a woman, a competitor, and she's taken what she loves on all aspects and definitely has brought it to funnel down to a pinpoint. So we're going to get into a lot of that because I know a lot of listeners, we are all at an age today where a lot of corporate people are going from corporate to getting fed up and being like, you know, I want to do stuff that I love. And they start competing mm-hmm. or they get into different, you know, like the Spartan races or start getting into shape. And you see all these changes from one aspect of life to a completely different one because it's actually making them happy. And so, you know, your background, I know a little bit about it, but you've come a long way to where you are today and just looking fine and fabulous with that total spunk on stage, which we all love to watch, those of us that have seen it. So I remember my first show competing with you and being like, oh my gosh, this one woman is fantastic. So it's been quite a journey for you. So let's go ahead and start. Okay. Tell us where you kind of grew up and a little bit about, you know, how you started, you know, if you grew up more fitness or not so fitness. Go ahead, take the mic here.
Okay. I grew up in the South, so small town and, yeah, Louisiana. But I traveled a lot. You know, my dad took me from, and I wrote about this in my book, I think that moving so much and having to start over and recreate myself, if you will, at a very young age, kind of gave me the ability to roll with the punches, jump over these obstacles and figure out, you know, how to be successful with you know, kind of sometimes limited resources just because I was always starting from ground zero. And my dad and my grandmother, I think, were probably the people in my life that I, the, you know, the principles that we feel like we're founded on, I grasped from them. Like one thing my grandmother always told me was that, you know, every kick is a boost. So no matter how far down you go, you're always going to be able to go up. And my dad, and I've said this a lot, and I think people see me post a lot about my destiny, not being by chance, that it's by choice. And that's something that he actually said to me when I was 8 years old. That kind of all started when I was younger. But I think that, you know, I was in sports, cheerleading, basketball. I actually met Rachel McLish when I was, I think, 13. And that really started me looking at my life in a more fitness-minded way. So I can't say I was in the gym, you know, like pumping weights at 13, but I was always very conscious of that look and that overall mindset. and
okay.
what I could do as a strong woman. You know, I would see, and I think that that clicked, something clicked for me then when I would say, I would look and see how I could become stronger or how I could help someone else. And, you know, initially it was women, but I think that there's a lot of people in the motivating community now, men and women and children, that I try to touch and meet the needs of. So it kind of, it was all sort of, I guess, warping into what it is today, bit by bit, you know, and then going
right.
into the military is obviously the driving force. I think that that's what sewed the quilt together, if you will.
Yeah,
12 years.
Gotcha.
Yep, 12 years going into the military.
Wow.
It really created who I am and brought out everything that I believe in, that I stand for, that I don't stand for. You know, my focus on how I'm going to structure my day, my goals, how do I achieve them, how I view the big picture. So, and it brought it all together for me. So I don't know. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's funny because, I mean, not all of us have the opportunity or want the opportunity to go into the military. So all those things that you just, you know, mention that, you know, being organized, having that structure, having the goals, those are all things I think that are important as we get older to be mm-hmm. able to accomplish. And you've learned in a very specific way. And
yes.
12 years of that's a long time.
Yeah.
So did you kind of know, did you go right out of high school into the military instead of like going away or?
Well, I lived on my own. I moved out of the house young. I lived out when I was 15. I moved out and I was living,
oh.
I lived in my car for a while. Yeah, okay. I went through like a year and a half of high school living on my own. And then I worked and that's when I decided I needed to go in the military if I wanted to go to college. It's kind of a decision that I made, you know, I had a little bit of time out there in the world. I knew that if I was going to achieve everything that I wanted or could, I needed more direction. So, I went in from there.
That's a very important thing. You know, as we listen, not we all, but many of us have children or, you know, we might be at that age right now listening to this, that we don't know what's going on. And not that necessarily that military is going to be for everyone, but to make that
right.
choice that, you know what, I need this for myself. And I, that's a very experienced and a decision to make and a mature decision to make at that age. Because most of the time it's like, well, I'm just going to go to a friend. I'm going to have someone else take care of me or like someone will help me. And you know, at that age, took it upon yourself to be like, no, I'm controlling my life. I'm taking control. And that is a huge lesson for men and women. And that's not just, you know, from a woman's point of view, but that's a lot to say about where you were and maybe how much you really believed in that fight at that age. So that's pretty
Yeah, and like one thing you said, you know, a lot of people don't have the opportunity to go into the military or, you know, to grasp those principles or concepts that I did. I think outside of that, like if you can't go into the military, I think one of the biggest things that I feel makes me look at or, you know, view the world and the business and the things that I do differently is that when I was in the military, no matter how much work I did, I could get up at 3 in the morning and I could work until, you know, 3 the next morning without sleep. My paycheck never changed. So I learned to see, you know what I mean? I learned to see the big picture. I learned to get fulfillment from other things, from what I did, from being generous. I learned that how I could change people's lives, how I could use my passion to make things happen, was richer to me than money. So, and I've gotten in arguments with people that are driven solely by money about this.
Yes,
and they think I am. And I have been told that I'm stupid. I've told that I have no business
yep.
sense. I'm not a millionaire by any means when it comes to the money in the bank, but I tell you what, my ability to be driven with gratitude, generosity, and courage, and not ego, and not every dollar, has really given me the opportunity to grow my business and see the big picture and provide a service that is nurturing and caring and not just focused on every dollar that comes in. And I learned that from the military. But if you don't go into the military, I think if you take a step back and view what you're doing or how you do it and kind of refocus, you can see that being generous and not driven by ego and being grateful for the things that you have in your life, if you can say that those things are present, I really feel strongly that you can change your direction, you know, if in fact you're going in the wrong one.
True. Absolutely. I would agree with that. And I feel like that is why, as we had talked about before, that is why so many individuals at a point in their lives are like, I'm done being driven by money. I'm done working this, all these hours and not feeling fulfilled.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things, like you said, that feeling is so on such a different level for some people and not for everyone. But you're absolutely right. And we're all driven by different things. I can totally relate. And I know from, you know, meeting you the first time, and then this is so random, having met you and seeing all these things that you've done, you actually know, you've known my husband before I even met you randomly. And that's what, you know, he will tell me over and over, those are the reasons that he hired you at Bally's way back in the day when you started training, because all those things, like you were just this driven, and then he took you with him when he left, he totally appreciated and like loved your drive. So that's a lot to say that that's carried on, and that's just not something new. That's something you've had for a long time. So that's pretty special, and that's great.
Yeah, that's cool.
So going back, so you came out of the military. Did you know exactly what you wanted to do when you came out?
Well, I had gone through a divorce. So my older son, who's 16 right now, was 6 months old. So it was like I'd been in for 12 years.
That.
Yeah, right. Exactly. He's 6 feet tall. So he's like, you're right. So I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. My last duty station was up at Great Lakes, and I was an instructor at the hospital corps school. So I was training the medics when they came out. And I had really gotten into the point at this stage of my career where I was doing a lot of public speaking. I love getting up in front of people, teaching, speaking, you know, and having people hear my message. So I knew that going forward that there was something along those lines that I needed to do. So my first job out of the military was going at the Blue Cross Blue Shield. I was a health educator, which I loved. But then when the Bally Total Fitness opportunity came, where I felt like I could be more one-on-one and have more of a interaction and I could be with people for longer periods of time to help them achieve their goals. I just felt like it was a dip in pay, but I felt like it was more fulfilling for me. And obviously it was the right direction because of where the path has taken me now. So I stayed in the same field this all the time. I've always been in health and wellness in the military. I was a medic. And I got my first personal training certification when I was 18. So I'm almost 45 now. So you figure I've been doing this all this time. So it's kind of been my mindset in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. And obviously it's been very successful, but did you have a lot of, you know, because there's so many years, you've obviously taken all this, and we'll get into all these different levels, but have you kind of received any, you're doing this, but you could do this and you could do that. And why don't you could make more money here. So were you like fighting with all this in your mind kind of in like, you know, emotionally with like individuals kind of stepping in and trying to put their two cents in?
There was a About 2 years now, I had a couple of situations where I had individuals come to me, you know, wanting me to, you know, I can take you to the next level, bring your sweat equity in, here's some capital, you know, you could be doing, and I gotta say, it's always been men. Women have never done this to me. It's always been men that have tried to tell me that I could do more or I could be more. And it happened twice. It happened twice over the past couple of years. I've done some blogging on it. You know, and for whatever it's worth, I realized I should thank these people because what it did was, yeah, it made me realize that, well, like we were talking about before we went on air, that I could say no, that I could believe in my gut feeling, which is powerful. So when your gut feeling says, don't do that, don't do it. And, you know, I had a passion and I had to say, I'm going to follow what I feel is right for me. But I did learn and listen. And I would make sure that I tried really, really hard to filter out what was good, what was bad, you know, because you have to have bad things happen in your life so you have a frame of reference to know what's good. So I can't sit around expecting everything to be perfect because then I'd never grow. I have to have those obstacles to leap over in order to become better tomorrow. So I think that all these things happen in my life in order for me to become stronger. And I feel like I'm really on the brink of something. I feel like I'm able to touch a lot of lives. I feel like I'm able to do things and improve people's quality of life. I feel like I'm able to do that. I've got a voice that people listen to. Thank God for that, you know. And I think that there's been missteps here and there, but I've gotten back on the right path and learned a lot of lessons, a lot of life lessons.
You've had, you know, and looking at you, I'm gonna tell you, like when we were posting the PR for this, and I know a lot of people on my page, they were like, "Damn, girl," because no one would ever like look at you and be like, "Okay, you've been in this a while." So that's pretty. That's kind of like a good feeling, you know, to have people be able to say and respond that way. Would you work your little tail off? And I've seen the changes from 10 years ago or whenever that you started till now. So I want to touch has said, and I think this is in the fitness industry, in anything where we make our own schedules, where we're hustling, we're, you know, trying to do things. There's so many aspects of this career choice or this lifestyle choice where, you know, like you said, individuals are promising you this, you should go for this, you should try this, come join this, let's do this. And it's like a whirlwind, and it makes, you know, I don't know if you want to, you don't have to be specific on who, what, where, when, but tell us how, you know, when you started this decision to do fitness and how you want maybe your funnel started, because that funnel always starts a lot bigger until we want to start pinpointing. You've had many years to decide to start, you know, being specific and focused. So can you kind of give us a little bit on?
Well, you know, I think in the beginning with me being in the Bally Total Fitness and in the big gym mindset, corporate gym setting, the funnel was huge there because it's a big pond, if you will, and you get all these fish in it and you feel like you've got to grasp on to all these things. But you know what? As crazy as that is, that whole funnel, and then as you and I are talking, it's important to kind of narrow that funnel and focus, but I think it almost is necessary for those of us in the industry, especially these new people, that they go through that. I don't think that you can be as successful at the end if you don't go through that in the beginning. Like, I needed to be able to teach classes and be a fitness director and a general manager for a while and train clients. I needed to be able to juggle 100 things and say, okay, this is crazy. This is too much. I needed to be able to get my foot wet in all of these aspects to see what I was good at, what I wasn't good at. Mm-hmm. There's some things that I just am not good at, you know, and jump roping on
that.
Live
great.
Television. I'm not good at that, you know. So not at all. Yeah. And you know what? I mean, and I'm certified to teach like kickboxing, but I suck at
mm-hmm.
it. But I'm really good at Zumba and a bunch of other stuff, you know. I'm certified to jump on a trampoline and teach a class, but I'm not sure I really want to do that anymore. So, like, you know what I mean? You want to be able to experience these things at the top of the funnel because it helps you grow. And it's interesting because that growth does, you know, you're able to compress it, if you will, as you get down there. And like we said, pick the things that are important. So through that, I learned that I could write this book. I've done multiple ones now, but and grow a community and focus on speaking, teaching. I actually really like my online business and my ability to communicate with people all, you know, from 5:45 in the morning to 10 o'clock at night. I'm pretty much available for all my online clients all mm-hmm. over the country. So, and I enjoy that. I enjoy talking to them and helping them and teaching them. And I, you know, it's, and I stopped teaching classes, the group exercise classes mm-hmm. after a while. I felt like that was one of the things I had to say no to because I couldn't keep giving that part of myself away. I needed to refocus on things that I felt really mattered or that I could make a difference at. Is that kind of what you're getting at? Is that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And as a lead, and that's, I feel like that's exactly, you know, what some people need to hear is that, and myself included, so that might be a very biased statement, but I like to hear that. I like to hear that, you know, it's important. It's okay if you want to, you know, save the world one day at a time, you know, but we're only one person. And as we get older, we realize, and you've got a family. It's not like you're, you know, the single chick in the city. You've got priorities too. So it's time to utilize that time now. So this Motivating You, I remember seeing your van plastered with you on your van with the Motivating You sticker on it. So tell us a little bit now, how many books do you have out, and tell us a little about, you know, give us just a little bit of synopsis on each one.
Well, the Motivating You book is my main book, obviously, and that is, that was a Scion that I drove. My publishers bought that car for me, and they shrink wrapped it with my book cover, which was hilarious. Mm-hmm. And drove that for quite a few years. My Motivating You is my life story, and interestingly enough, you know, I wanted to get my message out into the fitness and wellness arena, but I wanted to have it be personal. I have gone through some awful things in my life, and I've put them all out there. And I feel like the reason that I've been through those things is so I could help other people that are going through it. And there's got to be a reason why things happen to us, you know, and we have to be able to grasp some positivity from it. And so that's how that book is set up, to help people find motivation to do whatever it is they want. Now, here's the thing, you know, with me in the fitness industry, and I felt this a long time ago, everybody would say, you need to do videos. I'm like, do I really need to do workout videos? You know, I've got YouTube channels, and I put my video blogging out there and exercise tips or whatever. But, you know, everybody, to be honest with you, people aren't dumb. Consumers know.
Yep.
Eat this. Don't eat that. Exercise.
Right.
People know the fundamentals. It's why they don't do it. They're not motivated to do it. My message is how to turn that switch on to be motivated to do the things that you already know you need to do. Granted, macros, people need help figuring them out. People need help with form in the gym. But when at the end of the day, it's a deeper need.
Yeah.
What's going to motivate us to do the things that we already know we should be doing? Don't eat that cheeseburger all day, every day. Don't eat pizza all day, every day. There's other options, better choices. So that was what I wanted to do with my book. is to try to teach people how to set realistic goals. You know, I took the SMART goal thing, but I kind of changed it into this goal setting technique that I've got in the book, where I have these bubbles that look at all aspects of life and break it down into really small chunks. And I wanted to try to get people to view things in their life that maybe weren't fitness related, like how dirty their garage or closet or kitchen were, or the relationship that they had let go to the wayside, because I know that those things weigh down heavily on you and prevent you from achieving other goals. So that was kind of my focus with the Motivate You book and my life story, the things that I had to overcome to kind of put me out there so people would know that I was real. I just actually finished recording that book in my own voice, and it should be coming out next month. I'm super excited about that because that was one of my
big
goals for myself. Yes, thank you. And the next book project that I did was The Change. And The Change is available on Amazon and in my my Motivate You marketplace. It's probably one of the most favorite pieces that I've ever written. It was a collaboration with some other authors, and the story is so very personal and in my journey on self-reflection and how I overcame some very specific things in my life that could have really brought me down a path of no return. And there's another poem. I write a lot of poetry that I publish in my books, and it's about finding everything you want in life on the other side of fear. You know, and I always say, come on over, it's awesome here, you know, and it really is. It's the things that we're afraid of. If we can figure out how to get around them, anything is possible. And that's like the main message, I guess, in both of those books. And I have another little ebook that's out on iTunes that I'm going to be making into a hardcover book, and it's called I Sneezed and Pissed Myself, What Now? And it's just really
say that again.
I sneezed and pissed myself, What Now? And it's kind of, you know, if you've had children, it makes a lot of sense. People that have had kids, so it's more like I look in the mirror and I say something really negative to myself, demeaning. I do, you know, negative self-talk, and then you flip the switch and say something positive. So it's like 13 pages of just this negative reflection switched to a positive outcome. And it's just a quick read, and it's an ebook right now on iTunes. But, you know, and then the cookbooks that I have out there. So it's kind of that theme, if you will.
All right. Wow. Well, it sounds like it sounds like you have really put yourself out there and made yourself. It's a very vulnerable place to be in, to be able to write all that. And fear, that is the fear of failing, the fear of success, the fear of being all you can be. That is, like you said, it's such a true and real fight. And I appreciate you being able to talk and reflect on that and share that story, because it's not an easy, it's in that fear of being criticized or being judged. And you know, you say, okay, we're being judged, we're on stage in a tiny little bikini, but there's that fear, there's that, you know, and in this industry you've decided to get into that you're kind of rocking right now, it's hard, especially if you've gone through, you know, certain things, whether it's, you know, disorders, you know, growing up. Because as women, we go through that. We go through those times, you know, when we are hard on ourselves. So to get up on a stage and have a panel of 5 to 10 people telling you that you're not number one or you're not even in the top five, that can become another fearful thing, and it's hard.
One of the things I teach my clients about that, you know, is finding the validation from within yourself, because if you seek it from the judges or seek that validation from outside sources, you'll never find it ever.
Absolutely.
I just posted this picture on Facebook and Instagram. I think it was of my back, and it was like, whatever it is that you're looking for, it's inside of you. Whatever it is, it's in you. And if it's pain, And if it's fear, it's in there too. And you choose what it is that you want to focus on. You make the choice. You either do it or you don't. And it's in you. And you know, and what's funny is in this industry with the bikini competitors, mostly more so than figure competitors, people always have the stigma, you know, that they're up there trying to exploit themselves sexually. I tell you what, I don't think I have ever met a single, in all the years I've done this, not met one single bikini competitor that said that they wanted to get up on stage, bend over in front of somebody so they could exploit themselves sexually or get laid. I honestly tell you, every single woman or girl that I've ever met has just wanted to set a goal and become a better person. And this was a way to do that. It was a way to set that bar higher, to get themselves in a mindset to achieve something. And they wanted to be better than yesterday, you know? And it's interesting. And I think that when people look negatively at anything, not just this, but anything, if all someone sees is something negative, it's really a self-reflection of what they see in themselves. There's no reason to put down someone or something else in order to make yourself look better. So I think that that happens a lot when people are uncomfortable or they're unhappy. They want to drag someone or something down in order to make themselves feel like they're better, and which is unfortunate. And it's a message that I think that we need to keep yelling from the rooftops, that you don't have to put everybody down. You're okay where you are. You know, focus on bringing yourself up. Focus on setting your standards higher. Don't worry about mine.
Yes. And one thing, and I think one thing, you know, is every year I'm getting more experienced because, you know, we're not saying older, but we're getting more experienced. The one thing I'm finding is that, you know, you have social media now, which is just a cesspool of being able to judge on other people's stuff, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, the more we hear an individual or individuals like, you know, discussing and being able to criticize this person or talk about that person, it's like listening to that and you're like, well, what about you? Like, how about... Instead of talking about how wrong and terrible, and we're all open to our own opinion, and I'm not saying that this is, you know, we all have our opinion about things. When it comes down to certain things about individuals, you're absolutely right. Like, how about instead of criticizing, like, you realize what this is, what's going on, and, like, what's inside yourself that is, you know, what's that reflecting? Because we don't always want to hear negative. It happens. Sometimes we rant. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that happens. But as if it's an ongoing thing, it kind of, like you said, it's like, well, maybe that negativity, we have to find out where that's coming from and why it's like binding our heart and like everything that we have to say so deeply. And in this industry, like you said, you know, there's always people get upset, people get hurt. That's the way it goes. Everyone that does these competitions work hard. Everyone is putting in their time and their effort. And there's always going to be disappointed people, and you learn from it. And every time you know, you talk to a judge, they're going to tell you one thing. You're going to go to your next show because you did what that person said. And it's, they're like, well, now you're too this and this. And it's always like, it's always going to be different. So it's like you said, do it for your own internal reasons and be happy with that.
Exactly.
It's hard. It's hard because we all want to go up there and we all want to win. And I know, you know, you've done, you know, however many shows a year that you do. So do you know the count of shows that you've done up into now?
Yeah, this is going to be Masters Nationals is 22.
Yeah, I thought it would be 22. And you started in
2007. Okay. I did figure for my first show.
Did
was
you
figure
really? Oh, that's
in
right.
Ottawa. In Ottawa, I got second place, believe it or not. Oh, I still had a one-piece suit. I had a one-piece red velvet number.
Oh,
that'd be a throwback. That's a throwback for you.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. They're actually bringing I know in a couple different federations, they're bringing the One Piece suits back actually, which is kind of fun and interesting.
Really?
Because I know the PNBA has a division with the One Piece suits. So it's I think in some ways they're trying to also expand how many divisions that they have as well, so that they can increase the different types of individuals I think they have in the show. So, and I think it's also mostly overseas right now, like that division.
Yeah.
But it was a very cool, it's come a long way, because I remember seeing the One Piece suits all the time. And they were all the velvet,
mm-hmm.
black velvet, red velvet,
yeah.
purple
mm-hmm,
velvet.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. So was that the only time you did figure? Was that first show?
Yeah. And then, yes, because then I went into fitness and the bikini. I was in Fitness America, Muscle Mania for a while. And
yeah.
I really enjoyed fitness. I don't have gymnastics skills. So I'm like, I've got the strength, flexibility, a lot of good balance moves, good choreography. But again, you know, the people that were really winning, you know, had a skill sets I didn't have, like the gymnastics skills.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, like one of my best friends, Stacey Cavernmo. I mean, she's just like the most phenomenal. Yeah. I wish she was still competing because she's just amazing. And, you know, and then in the NPC where I compete now, fitness is a very figure physique. And again, the skill sets are higher than what I bring to the table. So I wouldn't be, I don't think I'd be very competitive, even though I enjoy it. I mean, I still do.
Right.
I have these little videos where I'm doing my fitness moves and stuff. And at my age, I'm like, I throw them out there whenever I can to try to keep myself fresh, you know, fresh
absolutely.
And healthy and strong and stuff like that. I do what I can, but but bikini is kind of where I've settled.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a great place to be settled because, I mean, you look fantastic. So have you changed a lot between 2007 and now? You know, that's a large time. And every year that goes by, obviously, even being a woman, we go through hormonal changes. We go through
mm-hmm.
all these other things. So did you find that it seems from reading a lot of your posts that you really went into a total overhaul. You took some time off. And so were you trying to get that centered? But it seems like you also went through an overhaul as to how maybe you ate, you worked out, all that stuff. So you have a new trainer or a new coach, right?
Yeah, I did. Well, I went through a complete overhaul as far as what I did with my training and my eating because I was not eating enough. And I wasn't lifting heavy enough. So I was in this, you know, I was kind of in this like hamster wheel, if you will. And then with me, coaching my team and giving myself to my clients all the time and then trying to coach myself was just damn near killing me. I knew that's why I hired Jake with Bomb Squad, because I did a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
One of my really good friends, Andrea Trent, and I discussed what the options were. She's the one that designed my suit for me and, you know, tried to look at all the different options. And Jake and I had been friends for a while, and I really felt that in order for me to go to the next level and get where I wanted to go for myself, for my goals, for my Motivate New brand community and be what I needed to be in order to create opportunities for my own athletes, I needed to hire him in order to take me to that next level. And it really has worked out. He came into my life back when I did right around the time I did the Iowa show in
mm-hmm.
November. And he's been, and then from there, it's been the Iowa show, Kentucky, Illinois State, Team Universe, and now we're going into Masters Nationals. So it's been amazing to have someone hold me accountable like I hold everyone else accountable. And that's a huge piece of advice that I can offer people that are in positions like me. If you really want to be successful, you have to relinquish some control. And that was hard for me because I wanted to, as a woman entrepreneur, I could do it. I can do it. And that's another thing I'm always going to say yes, because I can do it. Nobody's going to tell me that I cannot. But, you know, saying, allowing someone to help you is a big sign of strength. Relinquishing some control, allowing someone in, letting yourself look to them, you know, to help you is a sign of strength. And it is proven, I mean, I am better because I've allowed that. I'm better for my clients. I'm better for my business. Mm-hmm. I'm able to give more of myself in some of those other areas that I wanted to focus on because I have him to help keep me on track, make sure that I'm doing what I need to do, holding me accountable for my actions every day. So I'm really excited about the future going forward because I have him as a coach.
Yeah. Well, you just hit... It's ironic that you would say all that because aren't we as personal trainers, fitness coaches, don't we realize and deal with that every day? We've got CEOs, we've got, you know, high up people or not high up people, just anyone in general who are relinquishing, which is why we do what we do, and learning this finally at a certain point in our life that, like, yes, we need that too. We need to just be able to just listen and learn and be teachable. And that is an important lesson, not just in fitness, but in life, is we can be those leaders, but we also have to be able to follow. And that's how we become better leaders. So that is an absolutely fantastic lesson. And I'm so, and you can see how much that's, even relinquishing that 2% of your life that you do, of that stress of worrying about, you know, having someone else do it for you, how that's changed you and your physique and probably your life period as far as you'd be just being able to handle, you know, your clientele and your business, because you don't have to worry about that aspect. It's taken
and not
care
just
of.
And not just that, Phaedra, the fact that I've got, like, just, you know, some extra time to have my 9-year-old sit in my lap and watch SpongeBob, like, there's been times in the past where I couldn't even wrap my brain around allowing myself to make that kind of time. And it's important to balance.
Yes.
Real balance is balancing that time with your kids and your husband and your job and being able to figure out how all those pieces can fit together and be a healthy, you know, match. So that being able to sit there with him, you know, and, and watch cartoons and not feel stressed out. Such a wonderful thing.
I was just going to ask that, you know, we have been listening, you're doing all these fantastic, wonderful things. So how, and it might just be as recent as, you know, getting your coach, but how do you feel in these past years? Because you have 2 kids or 3 kids. So obviously you've had to, you know, you're trying to build all this and it can be done. So how, you obviously have not just been like superwoman happy all the time. You've gone from A to Z and, oh, everything's been great with, you know, a latte in your hand. So how do you feel, what were some like struggles? Because, you know, there's a lot of men and women trying to do their thing and make it with family. So what can you say has really, aside from support, obviously, from your family, I mean, what's been some hard things? Give us some like real lessons on that.
Well, I think with one of the things I wrote about in my book was when I left Bally Total Fitness, because I was kind of driven by money at one point. This is where this big lesson was. And I went and I was a manager at this Italian steakhouse in Oak Brook. And and everybody, we were all working in there, and then everybody got fired. I'd never been fired from anything. And
oh wow,
I was, yes, because I've always worked. I've always had a job. I was always a provider. So I got to this point where I didn't know what to do with myself. So I started drinking a lot of vodka, and I probably went up to about 150. So you figure I go on stage when you see pictures
and
of me, I'm probably maybe. Yes. So you figure when I go on stage, I'm about 114-ish.
Yeah.
I walk around at about 120, 124 max. I've allowed myself to get up to 130 through that growth period where I took some time off. But 150 is, you know, is kind of going above and beyond. So for me, but that only lasted a short time because I was able to kind of look at myself in the mirror and say, what is it that you're doing? What's going on? Why are you doing this to yourself? So it was more of, and people, you know, go through ups and downs, especially if they compete, they have that period after. I got to tell you, matter what it is that's going on in your life, there's a couple things that drive the negativity. And the first thing is fear. It's because you're afraid of what's going to happen one way or the other, and you close off. So you have to, and then your inability to connect with mind over matter. So fear, mind over matter. Those two things I tell people they have to focus on. And if that means that you need to get up every morning and write down what you're afraid of and try to figure out how to get around it, and then figure out what it is that your mind is going to take control of today. It could be one thing. It could be not drinking vodka. It could be not smoking a half a pack of cigarettes. It could be going to the gym just once this week instead of none. So it's fear, mind over matter, because those two things will either hold you back, or if you can work them to your advantage, make you as successful as you possibly can be. And looking
it's
at the system we have, you know, allowing the support system to be there for you. Like with my husband being there for me through writing books and getting another degree and growing my businesses, you know, allowing me to thrive and grow and change. You know, and that's been a huge part of it. And I tell you, I've got to say, you know, Pride Nutrition has been a huge factor in, I believe, my success. They have been a proponent for me. They've supported me from the beginning, really. And those guys, Frank and Joe Bosco, and their business, and you know, having my pre workout that I was able to design, and I'm on the label, and it's named after my book. I mean,
I saw that. Congrats.
That's huge. Yeah, that's huge to be able to help create who I am and my brand, you know, that brand awareness and who I am in the industry. Like, you know, it was funny. I was having a conversation. Somebody said to me the other day that, you know, how does it feel to be self-made? Nobody's self-made. Have I ever seen anybody with a hashtag that says self-made? I'm going to think that that person is an egotistical ass. Because here's the thing. I don't care if you did not get a loan, or you didn't have an investor, or you know, you didn't have a husband that, you know, makes six figures paying the rent for your, you know, storefront yoga studio. It doesn't matter. You're not self-made, because every one of us, every single one of us has got people in our lives that have helped us, made a difference. It could even be a phone call. The people that are going to sit there and say that they did it all themselves, they're going to go nowhere. I mean, short-lived success that they're having.
That's so true, because there's always someone, and I agree. I absolutely, in any industry, there's always someone. Even the most minute, like you said, it could just have been, there was someone that told that person they could do it. And
like,
and someone.
Yes, like Dave, you know, like Dave bringing me to Century because he believed in me. You know what I mean? Like, it started there. What if he would have left me in Lombard? Right?
Yeah.
Where would I be? Yep. Where would I be if he hadn't brought me down there? Because when I went down to the city, because he brought me down there, I started to do all this stuff on the news. Fox, WGN, that created a lot of opportunities for me that I otherwise would not have had.
Totally. Yeah. He,
you know,
he
and
is,
so, I mean, you look at, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It is pretty fun. And
give him a hug
the
later.
People that
give
you,
him a hug later for me.
I will for sure, definitely. When he wakes up, I'll be like, we were talking about you all morning. But even the people too, so like that chain continued because I actually work with Donnie Stokes, who I know you know very well. So he would always talk about just your energy and how much like, and you, he was military too, so obviously you were able to reach out to that. Mm-hmm. So your life experience, even like, I think you might have at one point, I don't know if you were there, but Will Coe, I think, remembered you from that Valleys too. Like, there was many different...
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So all these people in my life now, like, could come back to, like, knowing you. And it's an amazing, wonderful thing. I think we all meet people in our lives, not on, you know, on purpose, not on accident. So having you and being able to watch your growth and now, you know, talk with you and chat with you about all this is, it's a very, it's at this point in my life, you know, I'm 33. So you can remember 10 years ago where you were and how you felt and how life is just, cause you were learning that and how you've come along and you see the women and men you work with now. And it's like, wow, like, I'm so glad I am, you know, you're so glad where you are today, because, but you've had to go through a lot and you've had, like you were talking about, you've had your husband behind you supporting you. And that's, it's a huge thing to always have even just one person that keeps, you know, that's not your yes person, but that's able to give it to you straight. Like, honey, you're overdoing it, whether you listen to him or not, but to be able to say, all right.
A mentor.
You know,
yeah,
like,
a mentor too.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that too, speaking of, you know, do you have, you know, someone, you said pride has been a huge thing. So do you have, you know, someone that is mentoring that you look up to?
I post about him a lot. He wrote the foreword in my book, Dr. Jack Barnathan, and he owns New York Strengths. And he's the director of fitness sciences for the ISSA, the International Sports Science Association. I met him 15 years ago, so I've known him longer than my husband. And he's like a father figure at this point. My father passed away when I was 26. Everything that I've ever done, every decision that I've ever made since I've known him, I've run through him. He's got to be one of the smartest men or people that I've ever met. And I mean, the foreword in my book that he wrote is like, if you don't even read my book, read that. He's amazing. Yes. And he's just fantastic. I can't even say enough. You know, my heart is just full of love for him and the support that he's given me and the things that he's taught me. I definitely would not, you know, be where I am without the things that he's taught me about right and wrong in the industry and a lot of the things about saying yes and saying no and, you know, what you'll stand for and what you won't stand for.
And that's important. Well, and it's good and it's refreshing to hear that all these things that we've talked about today, because, you know, everyone is always, not everyone always, but there's always an idea that there has to be this huge struggle to get, to be the successful person. It's always struggle, always struggle. And yes, there is a certain amount of a lot of hard work that goes into this, but I think listening and to an individual that has gone from, and once we read, you know, or once, you know, we take a closer look at your books and, you know, now that it's out there and we're going to get your links and stuff in a second. I think that, it just makes it easier to realize that we don't necessarily have to struggle, but it's picking out the right time to read some passages in your book. It's you know, Mm-hmm. Not everyone's going to listen to this at this moment live, but they're going to pull it up maybe in a few days. And they're going to listen and be like, I needed this at this moment today at 7 o'clock on a Tuesday. I needed to hear this because this came into my life at this moment. And all of a sudden, these little things like focus and being able, yes, we're at the top of that funnel, figuring it out, but it's okay. It's okay to have a thousand billion things and not know.
Part of the journey.
Having a mentor.
Embrace it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And having someone to help and asking, you know, that's so awesome that you brought that up, because we all think that there's so many people that think that, you know, we have to do everything on our own, and myself included in that. I can handle it. I can handle it. But at some point we realize that we are even stronger when we can be able to ask someone for help, and we can seek the knowledge from other people. We can read magazines and articles, and that instead of being stagnant and suffering in this one little place, we open doors when we talk to individuals, and we get so much further when we listen to the little things here and there. And sometimes we're better at being able to tell someone else what to do instead of listening to it ourselves, because I think we've both been through all that. Where it's like, you should do this, yet we don't listen to ourselves.
Right.
But as you and as you can tell right now, and I listen to you saying, you know, getting a coach, getting someone to deal with that one aspect. I mean, you enjoy doing competitions because they're fun, and you've learned a lot. So why not give it to someone else to tell you what to do to make you better? And that's so important.
It's working.
And it's wonderful. It is. So we can talk about that a little bit. So you said, you know, you switched. We talked about this earlier. You've gone through a few different federations. You started with Musclemania, Bikini America. You got your pro card with the NGA, which is National Gym Association, I believe. And so you got your pro card, was it 3 or 4 years ago?
I think it was 3 years ago at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now you've, you know, transferred into the NPC, and you've got, so how was that transition, and how are you feeling with this new federation? How are you feeling, period, with all this stuff?
Great. I mean, I don't want to say anything negative about, you know, the NGA or anything like that. It was just, you know, I felt like the direction that I felt like what I could do with what the NPC offered would benefit me as an athlete, my athletes that I coach, and my brand, and kind of where I was going and sort of where I was at, you know, like this is where I was, and it felt like the right thing to do. And it was, I mean, it was the right thing to do. So, I mean, I had to give up my pro card, and because I had won money, and I had to petition and ask permission to compete in the NPC, and I got permission. Chuck is the Illinois state chairman here, and he helped me with that process. And so it's kind of like almost starting over, I guess, in the NPC.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons I've really pushed the past few years, is I wanted to prove myself, you know, and I wanted to, if I'm going to ask my clients, my athletes to do something, I'm going to make sure that I'm doing it too. And
right.
I'm with your help.
Absolutely.
My age, it doesn't, that doesn't matter. So I'd say I wanted to lead by example.
Totally. And you do, and we can see it, and we've seen your post, you know, I have, and more people will after this. I know it. They're going to be following you more. I see the individuals that are just so elated to have you on their side. I think anyone would, because you give so much of yourself, and it's important. So I would like, though, for individuals, before we end here, I'd like for you to give your how we can reach you. Like, what I know you got a few different.
Well, I'll give you one. What I did is I consolidated. That was one of the biggest things I did this year. I consolidated. I've got one marketplace. Everything is on there.
Oh, okay.
Every product, service, consultation, every contact, social media link, everything is on this marketplace. So I'll give you that. You ready?
Okay. What's that?
Yeah. It's shop dot teammotivatingyou.com.
Awesome.
And if you, and if you go on there, I mean, there's a contact us tab and it's got my YouTube channels, Twitter accounts, Instagram, fan pages, links to everything on social media. There's like 15 social media platforms that I'm a part of. You know, Amazon, my books are on Amazon. You can just Google my name. It's pretty easy to find that way, but going to that one link, that one marketplace has everything, my Instagram and all that stuff.
Great idea. Great idea. Well, Stacey, I am, thank you so much for being,
thank you for having me.
Spending time. Oh my gosh. You know, I'm elated to have you, you know, like from the moment I met you, like, energy was just wonderful. So, I, once again, thank you. I'm going to have this out. So if our listeners didn't quite get the link, I will go ahead and post that. And then you can share it and we'll share it. But I love you. I love what you've done. I love the message that you say, and you just keep on working hard and doing what you do. And it's, you're like, you know, we all kind of joke about saving the world and changing the world, but you really are. You plant the seeds and you're creating a long-lasting self-esteem, like high self-esteem, and your experience and what you've gone through has really helped a lot of individuals. And I appreciate that a lot.
Oh, thank you so much. It's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is great. Thank you.
You well, have a wonderful weekend. Good luck on July 18th at your Master's show.
We'll
be watching for you. Yes, absolutely. Yay. And you have a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Have a great one. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye.